Okay, shalom everybody. We are on. Rav Kook is going to go a little into Ta'amei HaMitzvot. Out of all of the relatively modern rabbis, Rav Kook and Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch are the most who dare go into giving benefits of the mitzvot. And today he's going to talk about Maaser Behimah, which is, there's a mitzvah of giving every tenth animal. Actually, you don't give it to anyone. You appoint the every tenth animal. You count them as they go by. Every tenth newborn goat or kosher animal. And the number 10 you mark. And then that is holy. And just like Maaser Sheni, you bring it up to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. Now, obviously, we don't do this today, but just like Maaser Sheni, the owner of the field would go up and bring his fruit, and he would eat it in Yerushalayim. So too, Maaser Behema is the owner counts out the 10th animal, and if he has 100 animals, he brings 10 of them up to Yerushalayim. And you can redeem them, just like Maaser Sheni. And okay, so the Gemara Masechet Shabbat Daf Nun Dalet Amud Bet reads as follows: Paratot Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria hayta yotzeit birtzua shebein karnea shelo birtzon chachamim. We saw this last time that the cow of Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria would go out on Shabbat with a ribbon tied in between her horns. And the other rabbis disagreed with Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria, saying that it is hotza'ah, that such a ribbon is not considered for the benefit of the animal, it's really for the benefit of the owner, and therefore if there is no eruv, you're not allowed to go out on Shabbat with such a ribbon. The Gemara asks, v'chada para havile? And what does it say that Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria's cow would go out with this ribbon? What, he only had one cow? But didn't Rav say, and others say that it's Ravi Yehuda who said it, Ravi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Tracer Alfe Egli Havima Ser Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria Me Edre Kol Shata Veshata. Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria was so wealthy, he had so much cattle, that he would give 12,000 cows a year for Maaser Behima. In other words, Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria had 120,000 new head of cattle born every year. So why does it say that he only had one? And next week we'll learn about, the Gemara says, it wasn't his cow, it was the cow of a neighbor of his who he allowed to go out with this ribbon. Anyway, but the obvious question is, and that's what Rav Kook is going to deal with, why does it so significant that Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria had 120,000 new heads of cattle? And if he had 120,000 new heads of cattle, you should say he had 120,000 new heads of cattle. Why does it say he has 12,000 new cattle of Maaser Behima? If you want a really big, give a big number, say 120,000. So, why do they say 12,000? And not only that, notice that the Gemara is apparently thinks this is significant. It says that Rav says, and there are those that say that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that, like, who cares who said it? Now, in all of the halachic statements in the Gemara, very often you see that this one said it, another say that somebody else said it. But here, it's sach hakol, it's a story. And whether he had 12,000, who cares who says that he had 12,000 cattle of Maaser Behima every year. Okay, so here are some good basic questions. Rav Kook says as follows. This is Masechet Shabbat, chapter 5, Piska Yud Aleph. To'elet sipur hakorot she'avru. Rav Kook here is going to deal in general with the benefit of stories that Chazal tell us. Because again, this isn't a halachic issue. Nevertheless, Chazal deem it important that inside the Talmud there are a lot of stories which teach us different lessons. So Rav Kook goes in and says the benefit, there is a benefit of every story that Chazal are going to tell us, the benefit of the stories of these historical things that happened 1800 years ago, Bihud 1900 years ago, Bihud Sipurim Hamitzainim Ezet Tochen Michayim Shel Adam Gadol. Especially if we're talking about a story in the life of a great person, right? We all know that Chazal said Gadol Shimusho Shel Talmidei Chachamim Mi Limudam. That it's important to stick around great people, and you learn great things even from the small biographical issues. So that is number one. Number two, here there is a riddle that is behind the story. If you remember, several times we already saw Chazal generally say and point out that the Tanaim and the Amoraim in general were poor. They all lived in poverty, almost all of them. So here, when it talks about the wealth of Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, that he had 12,000 new animals a year, which he would dedicate as Maaser Behemah, saying that he's very wealthy. So we have to find out why this is significant. Okay, Tzrichim le'olam liyot matimim im hakavanah ha'elohit be'etzem ha'me'ora. Rav Kook is pointing out something very interesting, that there is godly intention of every story. For sure, the details of important stories regarding important rabbis, and how much more so if it's written in the Talmud for prosperity forever and ever. So, and what Rav Kook is pointing out is we should try and figure out what is the lesson of the story. Now, this is what all of the commentaries on the Agadatot, that is the Maharal, the Maharsha, the Ein Yaakov, and more modernly, the Ben Ish Chai and Rav Kook, when they talk about the symbolism or the philosophic message of a story in the Gemara, there must be a Kavana Elokit, a godly intention. Now, you have to remember, Rav Kook is based to a certain extent on Hasidut. And the Hasidic movement, the Baal Shem Tov, were very strong on the idea that, as the Baal Shem Tov used to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes make an entire hurricane in order to move one blade of grass closer to one worm. In other words, every single thing that happens in history is significant. So obviously, details regarding important rabbis is important, and how much more so if it's in the Talmud. Paragraph Bet. Okay, so what are we going to understand from the story? Tzicha hamilitza. When we talk here about this apparent exaggeration of 12,000 ma'aser behema animals a year, that's 120,000 new heads of cattle. Apparently, there's some kind of exaggeration here, and also there's some kind of symbolism in the number 12,000. Or a dozen times 1,000. As tzricha hamlitza la'amid et hachizyon ba'ofen kaze, she'yase ala kore ledor dorim et ota aroshem atzmo she'asa ha'me'ora biyoto bifohal. Rav Kook is pointing out that if a story is mentioned in the Talmud, and the rabbis go into detail, that means that they want us to feel the feeling that people did in that original generation. Wow, so many animals, so many bechorim. V'kasher ateret chachamim oshram, and being that Rav Kook here is quoting a pasuk in Mishlei, chapter 14, that the crown of the wise people is their wealth. And here also is the question again, like we said before, Mishlei, in the book of Proverbs, Shlomo Melech himself says that it's better to be poor than to be rich. is better to be middle class than to be rich. So what is the importance that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is so wealthy? There must be some symbolism here. Ve'oshrosh Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah higdil kvoda shel Torah. Obviously, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who is the Nasi, the head of the Sanhedrin, and the head of the Sanhedrin has to be wealthy. Just like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was wealthy, and it says that he even had vegetables, he even had radishes in the winter, just like the head of the Roman governor, so too, the prince of the Jewish people, he also is supposed to have wealth. Shemimena pu'ulot gedolot yotzot letovat haklal. And obviously, when the head of the Jewish people is supposed to be wealthy, it's not just in order that we honor him, like the Sephardic chief rabbis dress honorably so that we should honor them and honor the Torah, but it is in order that they should have money to help litovat haklal, to help other people. Now, we're not just talking about, I know in America, there are a lot of rabbis of shuls who have what's called the rabbi's fund. The Hasidic rabbis also, when you get a bracha from a rabbi, you give him a donation where it stays in a fund where if a poor person needs a help, needs a loan, somebody needs to make a wedding or whatever it is. So, too, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had this rabbi's fund, which he needed a lot of wealth in order to help Am Yisrael. Al ken, sariha mispar lachnis betziura meora tochnit kaze, shegam biyot hazman harav over mafsik, beinadora huladora acharon, hazman shemochek beuzo kol perte reshamim, sheosher materet achokma osel ador. Right, that even though as time passes by, it's hard to feel how people felt when they saw the wealth of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So the way Chazal do it, and Chazal are great storytellers, is they take a number that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had 12,000 ma'asrei behema, which to a certain extent sounds even more than 120,000 new heads of cattle every year. And what they want us to do is to try and feel the way people felt in that generation when they would actually see his wealth. And this is part of the idea of the number 12,000, which apparently is a symbolic number, may probably exaggerate it as well. But Rav Kook is explaining why it's important. Again, the exaggerated or poetic symbolic way of writing it, 12,000 maaser behema animals every year. Ba'ofen shiyamidet ha-shomea al yesod shel tamtzit hakarat ha-emet ha-mechuvenet. And here again, the idea is so that we, today, even 1900 years later, should get the benefit that for the same reason that Hashem gave Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah such wealth, we today should also reap the benefit of that wealth. You have to remember, Jewish history, especially to Rav Kook, is very important. Says in the Parshat Ha'azinu, Zechor Yemot Olam Binu Shnot Dor Vador, that you should examine history and learn from it. And Rav Kook, Rav Tzvi Yehuda used to point out that Rav Kook writes Historia with a tuf, not with a tet, like everyone else writes it with a tet. Rav Kook writes it with a tuf to stress that it's Hesteria, that God is hidden inside history. When you look in history, that is a good way of seeing God. We spoke about this once, just a couple of reasons that Rav Kook stresses the importance of learning history. First of all, we see the hand of God in history. We see the specialness of the Jewish people, the way Hashem runs Jewish history. Also history, the word Chadesh Yamenu Kekedem, Kadima means future, and it also means past. Chadesh Yamenu Kekedem, like the days of the past, but we say Kadima to the future. Because only if you know where you're coming from can you know where you are going to. Like the famous story of the guy who's going from Minsk to Pinsk, and he comes to a tzomet, he comes to a junction, and he has a problem because there's a three-way sign, And somebody uprooted the sign, and it's laying down by the side of the junction. Now, he sees that it says Minsk. He sees that it says Pinsk. And the sign isn't standing up. But he says to himself, hey, if I know that I'm coming from Minsk, so I'll stand the arrow pointing to Minsk. I know where I'm coming so that I'll know where I am going to. So that's another reason why it's important to learn history, to learn from experience, right? Wise people, the elders are called and considered wise because they have experience. Especially Jewish history, especially a story which is studied already 1900 years. Also learning Jewish history, it strengthens our emunah in Hashem, that Hashem is still with us after all these trials and tribulations. We always come out, Am Yisrael always comes out. And also maybe the most important thing in our generation is to learn history in order to lif'ol im el, as Chazal say in the Midrash, in order to cooperate with Hashem. If Hashem is bringing the Jewish people back to the land of Israel, so I should cooperate and go back to the land of Israel. If Hashem is giving the Israeli army such great victories, so I should join the Israeli army and participate in those victories. Because if that's what Hashem wants, and I want to help Hashem as if it were, and I want to be a partner with Hashem, and Hashem likes us to do the hishtadlut, to put in the effort in the direction that He fires the arrow, He wants us to continue the arrow. So all these are different reasons why Rav Kook says in different places why it's important to learn Jewish history. Okay, paragraph Gimel. HaTochnit shel HaMisparim. Now we're going to get into the symbolism. So, Kishnishtamesh Bayim Lu'umata Chayim HaEkonomim. If we talk about economical numbers, and that's what we're doing, 12,000 Maser Behemas, for those who joined us late, Maser Behema is you appoint one out of every 10 animals, and the owner takes that every 10th animal, brings it up, and eats it in Yerushalayim, in the Beit HaMikdash. So, Nichbad Yeh Lanu Litzayir Arbat Arachim. Right, so there are four digits regarding economy. Hamachsor, there is lacking for situations. That's what I put in the topic, the heading. There is people who are lacking food, for example, money. Number two, sipuk, people who have sufficient. Number three is haharvacha, people who have a lot. And number four, haosher, people who have so much, they are so wealthy, shekvar mashpia lezulato, that they give money to others as well. Tzedakah, to help out the poor people. Now, hayechido tetzayen et hamachsor. If we're talking about, again, remember that our number is 12,000. 12,000 maser behema animals. So, if we're talking about the single digits, so the single digits represents the machzor, those who lack, that they just have individual animals. Ve'asirot, somebody who has tens of animals, etasipuk haba b'maracha acharei silukach hisaron shel machzor. Somebody who has tens of animals, he goes from the single digit to the tens digits, that tens digits symbolizes that he has sufficient. Hameot, the third digit, the hundreds digit, mitzaynot arvacha, ha'odefet ala sipuka mitzumtzam. Somebody who has more than sufficient, he already has in abundance. Umemele yitzaynua alafim, and accordingly, the thousands digit symbolize ita osher mitrachev lashba'a o mishechutzlo. Somebody who has so much that he is overflowing with possessions and he can even help other people. That's what a Jew does when Hashem gives him money. Hashba'a mitrachevet biyad nediva. So, by the way, I'll say parenthetically, Rav Kook here is giving us a key to understanding rabbinic numbers in a lot of the stories that they teach us. So if it's a story about singles, or about tens, or about hundreds, or about thousands, you now have the key how to understand the symbolism. So again, Hashba'ah mitrachevet biyad nediva, when talking about somebody who has so much that his money is overflowing and he helps other people, again, that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who's that of the Sanhedrin, and that's what he obviously does with his money. Let's jump for a second to source number 5, which tells us what does this have to do with Maaser Behima. So the Mishnah Masechet Zevachim, those people who say Korbanot every day know this, HaBechor VaMaaser VaPesach, the firstborn animal, which we give to the Kohen, HaMaaser, that every tenth animal which is born that we bring to Yerushalayim, VaPesach, the Korban Pesach that every Jew gives every year on Pesach time, Kodashim Kalim, they are not Kodashim Kodashim, the highest level of holy that either you just burn on the altar for God, or that only Kohanim can eat, but these are Kodashim Kalim. They're a lighter level of holiness that normal people can also eat. Shchitatan b'chol makom ba'azara, that you can slaughter them anywhere you want in the Azara of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Holy Temple. Vidamanton matana achat, you don't have to give 2, you don't have to give 4 gifts on the altar, you just give 1. Ubilvachi ten keneged yesod, but you put it by the yesod. That's the part of the altar that was sticking out on the southwest corner. Shina ba achilatan, but the 3 korbanot that we're talking about differ. And here we're going to get into the details about Maaser Behima. They differ regarding who eats it. HaBechor ne'echal Kohanim. Kohanim, they eat the Bechor. Even though it's Kodashim Kalim, it has to be eaten by the Kohanim. HaMaaser lechol Adam. Every person can eat that Maaser Behima. So even if it's born into the barn of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he could bring all these animals to Yerushalayim, and anybody who wants can eat them in Yerushalayim. It doesn't have to be he who eats them. V'ne'echalim b'chol ha'ir. And they're eaten everywhere in Yerushalayim. B'chol ma'achal, any way you want. You like it roasted, you like it cooked. Goulash, whatever you want. L'shnei yamim v'layla echad. But it has to be eaten within 2 days. Now, this is important. If Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah has 12,000 Maaser Behema animals, there is no way that he can eat all of this 12,000 animals. So what does he do with them? So Rav Melamed in Pnine Halacha, he brings down V'adam Shayulo Behemot, source number 6, a person who has a lot of animals for Maaser, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azar, 12,000 Maaser animals, 12,000 every year, Kedei l'sayim et achilat b'saram, in order to finish eating them within the time period of Shnei Yamim, of 2 days. If you have to eat everything within 2 days, you can't smoke them or make hamburgers and freeze them, and you gotta eat 12,000 bichorim within 2 days. So what's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gonna do? Hayamaz milasudato aniim ulevi'im. He would obviously invite the poor and the levi'im, the Levites, who didn't have a share in the land, they didn't have farming land, and that way you do another mitzvah of Maaser Behima, of helping other Jewish people in Yerushalayim, helping the less needy, the less fortunate. Okay, so getting back to paragraph Gimel. So, again, Hashba'ah HaMitrachevet. Here we go. Hashba'a mitrachevet biyad nediva. The influence of overflowing money to help out others. As we see, Reb Leza ben Azariah obviously gave most of the 12,000 Maser Behema animals to the poor people in Yerushalayim. Mituert, and again, the number 1,000 symbolizes overflowing, so much that you give to other people. Mituert bit pashta le'arba ruchoteha. Reb Leza ben Azariah had so much, and when Chazal want to say so much, here it's interesting to point out, you know, sometimes people are scared to say that Chazal exaggerate in their numbers. For Rav Kook, he's saying it's no problem. A number like this is obviously exaggerated and symbolic, and you don't have to say, well, anybody who veers a little right or a little left from exactly what Chazal say, even in their stories, is not bikoros, and he's contradicting the Talmud. Rav Kook is saying, relax. We're talking symbolically here. So what is the idea of 12,000? So the number 4, anybody who's learned Maharal knows that the number 4 symbolizes the 4 corners of the earth, all the different directions. And ubimuvan hamale shalit pashtut. In other words, that the wealth is spread out in all directions. Bimuvan, but obviously we know that also Chazal knew that the world was round, but the term four corners of the earth means the four directions, north, south, east, and west. Yama v'kidma tzafona v'negva, like we see in the Torah. Okay, so the number 4 means in all directions. Bimuvan amale shalit pashtut, dainu shloshet hamerchakim ha-metsuyarim b'teva, orech haruach, rosh, toch, v'sof. Rav Kook is saying that the number 4 times the number 3, again, 4 symbolizes in all directions, in this way. And the number 3 symbolizes all directions in this way, the beginning, the end, and the middle. So 4 times 3, this is the number 12, that symbolizes a lot in all directions. Dainu shloshet ha-merchagim yitzim she'em tzrichim litba'er mitzad chosen ribuyam, that when we want to explain that we're talking about so many maser behema animals, 120,000 new cattle every year, shezeu dmuta osher, this is the picture of wealth, hinamit barim yafe betchuna shel tresar alfi. And therefore, the number used is 12,000 Maser Behema animals, because again, thousands symbolize abundance, wealth, that goes in all the directions, also to other people, as we explained. By the way,
so,
the number...
Rabbi Akiva, 24,000 students, maybe right? It's also connected.
Right, the number 12, you'll find it a lot. Also in English, when we use the term a dozen, when you say... 10. 10 is already, like Rav Kook says, moving from the single digits to the tens digits. So 10 means a lot. Tens means a lot of tens. But when you're saying dozens, that's even more than tens. So it's not hundreds, but it's not hundreds of thousands, but 12,000, a dozen thousand, is like the number dozen, like a baker's dozen, that's even 13. A dozen symbolizes more than tens, like a large number. Dozens of people came. So again, here also Rav Kook is saying Chazal used the number in the symbolism of their rabbinic literature in this way as well. It's what's called a large quantifier, right? Singles is a small quantifier. Tens is a large quantifier. Dozens is even more larger quantifier. Thousands is thousands. So twelves, thousands, that's a heck of a lot. Now, paragraph Dalet, we're running out of time. Ubiyota osher Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah mechubar kulo l'kdusha. Being that Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, his wealth is totally connected to holiness. Again, we don't count the number of dollars or dinar or shkalim that he has in his bank account, don't count 120,000 new heads of cattle. We want to count in holiness 12,000 maaser behema animals, again, 12,000 maaser behema, and not 120,000, symbolizes that his wealth is a wealth of holiness, that he uses his money for holiness. Uperotav betadiroti namoz rim lerumem lunase keren torata emet. And he uses his money to help the Torah. What does it mean to help the Torah? Well, he's the head of the Sanhedrin. Number two, the Maser Behema, if you maybe let's just jump to... let's go on one more sentence. Achatzad shila osher atzmo hu mikudash lashamayim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, when we count his wealth, we count how much he gives to Ma'aser Behema. Shezeh muvan shel Ma'aser Behema. The idea of Ma'aser Behema is to make your wealth religious. Now let's jump for a second. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, Rav Kook's son, on Parshat Vayikra, at the end of Sefer Vayikra, I should say, Parshat Bechukotai, he talks about Nivgashtahi im Ma'aser Behima, Ma'aser Sheni, this concept of Ma'aser Behima, where the owner brings it up to Yerushalayim to eat in Yerushalayim, the holy city, and also Ma'aser Sheni, where you take one-tenth of your crop every first, second, and fourth and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, where you take 4 out of 7 years, you take one-tenth of your crop to eat yourself in Yerushalayim, Shem Chovalakol, Nivgeshati im Ikar Torah Lashlamata Ufa'a Shel Torah Bakol. Rav Tzvi is saying that the symbolism, part of the symbolism of Maser Behima and Ma'aser Sheni is to bring holiness into everything, even into the food that I eat, not just the food that I give to the Kohen, that's Truma, or that I give to the Levi in Ma'aser, or I give to the poor people in Tzedakah or Ma'aser, Ani. That obviously is religious, it's spiritual, giving to these holy people and being altruistic. But what Maser Behema and Maser Sheni teach us is that even the food that I myself eat should be eaten in holiness in Yerushalayim. Ad heyod biyad hayachid hanoder koach litzor mitziyut mamashit shel kedusha. Rav Tzvi stresses another aspect of Maser Behema. Very interesting. That, and it's also the same thing with Maser Sheni. Being that the owner, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in this case, the cowboy who owns the barn, he designates, again, every tenth animal that passes in front of him, he marks with a marker, puts a little red mark on him, another ten puts another red mark, and then those tenth animals are now holy. You cannot eat them in the city, outside of Yerushalayim. Does that mean that my words have holiness? Yeah. And this is another message of, it's like nidarim, when a person takes an oath and he says, I swear off of this, or I swear that I will do that. His words have holiness, and there is power in words, and there is kedusha in the words that a person says, even regarding his own money. He's revealing the holiness even in his own money, in his own food. Hachala lebeima ve'iefshar lebehamara. And you're not allowed to switch it for another animal. Say that tenth animal is big and fat, and you'd like to serve it and eat it for Shabbat even. You cannot switch it for another animal. You can't say, okay, this, even though it was the tenth one that I counted, I'm going to eat it for Shabbat because it's big and fat, or I want to make a kiddush or use it for my bar mitzvah or sheva brachot. No, you're not allowed to. And if a person switches that tenth animal for another animal, both of them turn out to be holy. In other words, we're really talking about how every person, every Joshmo out in Carmiel, he has holiness in his flock. Now, the Sefer Achinuch also mentions another aspect regarding the holiness of bringing and eating the Maser Behima and Maser Sheni in Yerushalayim, where he says that the idea of again, we're in source number 4. This is Sefer Achinuch Mitzvah Shin Samech Shas. Yerushalayim was always the Torah center of the world, especially in the time of the Sanhedrin, where all the great Gedolim, almost all of them, lived in Yerushalayim. That's where the Sanhedrin was based. And therefore, when a person wants to go up an Aliyah L'Regel, and he eats his his Maaser Behema in Yerushalayim, helping all the yeshiva students in Yerushalayim, all the rabbis in Yerushalayim. He is strengthening his own connection with Torah and with holiness. Okay, so getting back to paragraph number 4, just to finish off, Dalid. One Dalid. So Rav Kook is saying that this idea of Maaser Behema she'abealim be'atzmam mimal'im ba mikom ha'kehuna is the heading of today's topic. How can I be a Kohen? The answer, Maaser Behema, where I bring it up to Yerushalayim, and I eat it in holiness, and I eat it in the Beit HaMikdash, that is how I can be a Kohen and reveal holiness even in the steak that I eat. Shabalim be'atzmam mimalim ba'makom ha'keuna. Ki mitzad ha'matzav shel ha'mikneh en sorech kol kach. Here's very interesting. Rav Kook is asking the question, why don't we give trumot to masrot from animals? We give truma to the Kohen, and maaser to the Levi, and maaser ani to the poor people, and trumat maaser, and chala and bikurim, and there are so many 58 agricultural mitzvot that we give to the Kohen and the Levi, but that's only regarding farming things. Why don't, when a person has cattle, why don't we have 58 cattle mitzvot? Why do we just have this one maaser behema mitzvah? Well, there are a couple more, but this is Yotzei Min HaDofen. That's the main question. Why don't we have 58 agricultural mitzvot that you have to give so much to the Kohen and so much to the Levi of your cattle? By the way, there is Roi Lechaim in Keva. There are some small parts that we do give to the Kohen from the animal, but not 10%. So here Rav Kook has a beautiful explanation. Ki mitzad ha'matzav shel ha'mikneh, אין צורך כל כך למפלגה מיוחדת למדת רוחניות באומה. We don't need a special party, the Kohanim or Leviim, to reveal the holiness in the nation of Israel like we do regarding agriculture. שזולתי תביעה שרק מעמד של עבודת האדמה, just regarding agriculture, where the average person who is a farmer, it takes so much of his time that he doesn't have so much time to learn. And he's always plowing, like they say in Arabic, falach. Their farmers are more simple people. Machriachlo, so they need more of a reason to split up. Farmers need to split up their own crops with Kohanim, with Leviim. That's why they have 58 agricultural mitzvot to share with the holy tribes. Tzion shel osher ha'omed be'ino b'tchunato ha'atzilit. But regarding Maaser Behema, somebody who has a barn, and like Rabbi Elazar ben Azar, he has 12,000 Maaser Behema cattles, the Torah wants us to be blown away by the number. Don't start giving out to the Kohen this amount, and the Levi this amount, and bring in that whole flock of 10%. Tamid midei shana, every year, ra'uish yutzag lidorot, below alamat ercho amar hivlev. We want it to make a roshem, to make a big, how do you say roshem, influence. Ve'in ra'ui liyot, sorry?
Impression.
Toda. We don't want anything to take away from that big, awesome impression of a lot of flock going up to Yerushalayim and eating it in the holy city and sharing it with the poor people. The best way of seeing God's blessing is when you see everything together. When you see a family picture with the whole family, that makes my mother, Bliayin Hara, has more than 100 descendants alive. You see them all in a picture, right? Or my son, Lahavdil, when he takes a picture of all the olives that he picked, or all the grapes that he picked, and you see the whole crop together, that makes a very strong impression. And if you have to take away, give 10% here, give 10% there, give this, give that, so that is necessary for agriculture. But Rav Kook says regarding animals, it's good to have that strong impression going up to Yerushalayim, eating the animals like a kohen. I want to be a kohen too, eating them in purity. Ad sheyeh nechshav ki'ilu rak chada para havelei. Right? We don't want it to have, and that's what the Gemara says. What, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah just had one cow that he would tie a ribbon on? What do you mean? He had 12,000 maser behemas. Zulatim, every year. Zulatim, yesh beze matara chashuva machrat shotan umvakshim b'sheila zu. If there was a reason to talk about his one special cow, so we would talk about it. And next week, we'll talk about the cow of the widow that he did tie the ribbon in on his horns. So we're going to talk about that next time. But Rav Kook here is saying, we don't have a reason to talk about one cow, Adarava. Let's talk about the 12,000 Maser Behemas that Relaza ben Azariah had every year. And we have here a very beautiful example of how Rav Kook even takes the details of the mitzvot that it's 10%, and you eat it yourself, and you eat it in Yerushalayim, and how are you going to finish so much in 2 days, and you have to share it with the poor people? Rav Kook really gives some beautiful details of the Ta'amei HaMitzvah of Maaser Behema, that even I can feel like a Kohen, and also in helping us understand the symbolism of some of the stories of Chazal and the numbers that they use.